How'd I know she? How'd I know she was gonna say that?
Oh, I didn't even hear it. What?
Well, it's because you clicked it. You hear it.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sharp Side Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Barada, and joining me to break down NFL week, was this four? Week four? Yeah, it's week four. You just heard Austin. James is also here. James, any update on your computer?
The new one's working wonderfully.
Oh, wonderful.
The other one's long gone. It's probably somewhere far away. Being traded for crack.
All right. I'm sure James bought his laptop with his excellent best bet winnings so far. James is 10-5 overall, just like Austin and I, too. Now, the main separator there is James is 3-0 on his best bets, and Austin and I are 0-3. Now, Austin, I feel like I should be able to brag about it, seeing that where my non-best bet bets are 10-2. But I'm curious your thoughts there.
You know, at this point, we're kind of just the lovable losers. we don't win. I mean, if the people like should just tail all of our picks and then just fade our best bets, and they'd be some wealthy people. But you know, we're going to stick to the process. We're winning bets, but we're missing our big best bet. I think we're going to be fine. I already bet James before this that I'd finish with a better record at the end of the year. Trust the process. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
You were saying that quite a bit last year. And, I do feel like I need to echo that just because I have started 0-3. Mm-hmm. Can I get quick recaps of just a couple, you know, main points that you picked up over the weekend? James, I'll start with you.
There are no huge takeaways for me, honestly. There are a lot of really good games. My main takeaway was the Rams are for real. I still think those are still the two best teams in the NFC. I look forward to that rematch in the playoffs.
Yeah, to just piggyback on that, I would agree. I think the Rams are for real, but what really caught me in that game was that Bucs defense is very overrated. That secondary was torn apart, and now we've seen three straight games where they've been torn apart, including by Matt Ryan the game before. So they have some big question marks, especially with Jamal Dean also getting hurt in that game.
Yeah. For me, it was, I think it's just time to, this is a little solemn, but we need to put down Big Ben and Matt Ryan, and you know, we need to attend their funeral, because between Big Ben just like being eaten alive by turf monsters and Matt Ryan just has a noodle arm all of a sudden. It's tough to watch those teams. I still don't really know how the Giants, actually I do know how the Giants lost. Joe Judge kicked on like 4th-3 on the Falcons 39, but it's tough to watch them play the game of football at the professional level right now. James, you hit your best bet with who's your best bet?
Saints.
Last week? Saints last week. That's right. They won outright. To kind of preface, our best bets, excuse me, I need to get a little situated here. So we'll start with you. Where are we going to for your best bet this week?
I was on the Saints last week. This week I'm against them. I'm on the Giants +7.5. So the Giants this year, they're 0-3. They're widely considered to be probably one of the 7-8 worst teams in the NFL at this very moment. But I think it's a really good, probably buy low spot. Last week, they outgained the Falcons by 50 yards. And it was honestly, like, if you look at that first half, I think they outgained them by 100, 150 yards. But just not converting down in opponent's territory and turnovers really hurt them. If you look at their stats the entire season, they've been pretty unlucky. Outgained the Falcons by 50 yards. That game at Washington was even. I mean, they had, like, three chances to win that game, and they lost. They just find ways to lose. But two of their three losses have been pretty close. Even the Denver loss just doesn't look as bad as it really was because garbage time. Then on the other side, the Saints, they've looked really good. Obviously went into Foxborough last week and dominated the Patriots, but I think this could be a little bit of a sleepy spot for them coming back to the dome. Actually, I kind of take that back. It's the home opener, so it probably won't be a sleepy spot because they didn't really get a first home game. But, I mean, their stats this year, they haven't really like just blown me away. Week one against Green Bay, it was kind of an aberration in my mind. But the last 2 weeks, They got dominated at Carolina, obviously a bad spot. And then last week, they looked pretty good, but I just don't think they repeat that performance this week. And a trend that really supports this is the Giants are 10-1 their last 11 as road underdogs under Joe Judge. So in this spot, they perform really well. And I think they'll definitely be up to the task here after a bad loss, two bad losses in a row. So I think they're hungry for the first win. I like G-Man plus 7.5.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm just struggling to still get this Saints team. I'm on the Giants as well, but I'm still just going to be watchful just to see how the Saints look, because they're such a team that is relying on the run. Don't make too many mistakes. Jameis still hasn't thrown for over 150 yards this season. And I don't know how you can spot a team like that 7.5 points. I understand that the Giants are a bad team. They're not, I know they're not bottom of the league, but they're certainly not average. But it's just, I don't trust the offense enough to be favored by more than a touchdown here. So I'll be on the Giants for the same reason as you. I really like that they have been a feisty road dog in the past two seasons under Judge. They had great upset wins at Seattle last year, close games against the Rams and the Cowboys. They seem to always show out in these spots. It's becoming a desperation game as well for them. Judge and Gettleman, like, they are on the hot seat. If this doesn't start to turn around soon, they could be gone. So I'll be on the Giants. I just think it's too many points.
First of all, I feel bad for Daniel Jones, because he's actually playing well and he's making good throws. And I don't understand how, but he's such a good runner with the football in his hands. But so I'm debating whether I want to bet you guys on this game. I did bet the under. I think I got a 43. But so Blake Martinez is out for the year. That's a big loss for the defense. Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton are questionable right now, but they're trending. It's looking like they might not play, and they didn't practice today. Saquon is still a little banged up. He's had opportunities to where I remember there's a play I saw in particular where, normally he would just run. It was he had a one-on-one with Deion Jones. And normally he could just kind of roll over those kinds of linebackers. But instead he kind of danced around in the backfield and I ultimately got tackled for a loss. He doesn't really have the explosiveness that, the Giants kind of need him to have. And then the O-line is fine. Andrew Thomas has been outstanding this year so far, but going up against the Saints defense, this Saints defense is fully healthy right now. Marshawn Lattimore, full participant today. And with being down two of your top three receivers going up against that secondary should be a pretty tough matchup for them. And on top of that, Kenny Golladay is playing banged up and he has not been able to separate whatsoever against anyone. I struggle to see how the Giants are really supposed to score here. And then when you lose the linebacker and the guy who's supposed to shadow Alvin Kamara, I think they might be in for a tough day here. And I just kind of struggle to see how they're going to be able to sustain an effective both sides of the ball game. So,
yeah, you kind of swayed me a little, just because we know that once the Saints get out to this lead, how good they are controlling the lead and just extending from there. And the Giants are most likely going to fall behind early, especially with an energized Superdome. You would expect that Saints are going to jump out to an early lead quickly.
I think the play would be Saints first half, or Saints first quarter, maybe. That place is going to be going it's already one of the places where it's one of the best home fields in all of football. And just look at what, the post Katrina Monday night game, you would have thought that there was going to be about to be an explosion that went off. It is definitely something crazy. That being said, the reason why I do like the under, Terron Armstead, who's one of the best tackles in football, he's out for the next few weeks. And Eric McCoy hasn't played recently. I believe he's questionable right now, but I would kind of be shocked if he played at all. So the Giants D line could be pretty effective in this game here. Anything else to add, James? You want to rebuttal a little bit?
Yeah, you said you like how Daniel Jones has played. If he doesn't turn the football over, I think they for sure stay in this number. There's two Saints wins, they're plus six in turnovers. That's how they get these crazy margins without putting up just crazy amounts of total yards. If he can hold on to the ball, I think I really like the Giants, but big if with him.
Yeah, they're kind of playing the perfect opponent for turning the ball over.
Yeah. Take my chances.
That's fair. I don't know. It's play calling's been bad, and like, I want to like Joe Judge, but he's making it very difficult with some of these decisions he's making in the game. Austin, we'll kick it to you next. You had the Bucks last week. Where are we headed for your best bet?
We are going to Denver in Mile High, and we're going to be on the Ravens. So this is the first game of the season for the Broncos in week four that they're playing a team with a win. They are coming off games against the Jags, Jets, and Giants. Not exactly impressing me. This number here reads that the Ravens and Broncos are pretty much rated equally. And I understand that you can only play who's on your schedule. So the Broncos, I can't fault them, but I'm not going to overreact to saying that the Broncos are just this much better of a team. I think bettors have this idea in their head right now that the Ravens needed a 66-yard field goal to beat one of the worst teams in the league last year. But from a box score perspective, the Ravens dominated that game. If it wasn't for Hollywood Brown dropping some touchdown passes, they win that game by double digits. On the look ahead, this line was Ravens as 1.5-point favorites, and now we're seeing them as an underdog. The number did move down a little. I just think the move isn't warranted. This is the same team that just beat the Chiefs, and nothing has really changed except the fact that they've gotten healthier. Jimmy Smith is back. He played last week, but only about 10 plays, but he should be healthy this week. Justin Houston, Brandon Williams, they all should be back. And Bateman got cleared, and he's practicing this week. So maybe even he'll play. I believe that the Broncos do have a pretty solid defense. I think their numbers are skewed a little bit just because of the opponents they played. But I think they mainly have a really solid pass rush and secondary, which is a bit of a bad matchup, just considering the Ravens have the rushing attack to negate that. The Broncos just lost Hamler, which is now looking very thin, that wide receiver position, considering they just lost Judy. When Hamler's off the field, Teddy Bridgewater's percentage of deep ball throws drops from 31% all the way to 11%. I think the Ravens are going to be too much here. I think that they're the better team, and I think that they're going to be able to score enough. I just don't rate the Broncos as quite high enough. My one pushback is I feel like this number should have flipped already. I feel like the Ravens should be a favorite right now.
They are.
It's a pick on where I'm looking.
I'm seeing plus one. BetOnline has a minus one.
Okay, so the numbers are clearly moving. I'm just wondering why it took so long for the move to happen. I do understand that the Ravens are on back-to-back roadies. Going to altitude here, I know, isn't the best. But at the same time, I just think the Ravens are the better team. I think they've been playing pretty good football, considering all the things they've gone through preseason with the injuries. I think I'm still seeing a plus money on the money line. If you can get that number, I think that's valuable. So I like this Ravens play.
Yeah, this is my second favorite play. I absolutely love the Ravens. When it was 1.5 Sunday night, I teased it up with, I think, the Bucks down. And then I also bet it straight plus one. Really like the Ravens. I don't fault them at all for that result last week. I think a lot of people come out and say they played really bad, like they should have blown out the Lions. But that spot just lined up for a sleepwalk game. You come off an emotional Sunday night win. Short rest, going to Detroit, a team that's actually playing way better than they're supposed to be. And you still come out with a win. That honestly impresses me. Overcame some adversity in that game with all the Hollywood Brown drops. I really like the Ravens here. And I just think the Broncos are overvalued, like you said.
Yeah. First of all, Hollywood Brown dropped three touchdowns, that on three separate drives too, like that needs to be noted. Now, I think I saw Rashad Bateman might come back this week, which yep. I was working very hard to try and find an offensive rookie of the year for him, I also like the Ravens there. I bet them money line plus one time.
Good bet.
You guys, I agree with all your points. I'm just going to play devil's advocate here just because someone has to. So we have the Ravens coming off two very, 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 very emotional games where they were very fortunate to win both of them. Both deserve both covers for sure. Excuse me, they didn't cover against the Lions, but they definitely played an outstanding game against the Chiefs. But to recover a fumble and then kind of iced the game out from there. It was pretty lucky. And then, of course, there was that delay of game that preceded the coolest special teams play I've ever seen in my entire life.
We don't talk about that. Yeah. It didn't happen.
They covered all the teasers, so I was very happy. But I think it should be noted that the Broncos defense is absolutely outstanding, and they have like elite personnel all over the field. The scheme is great because of Fangio. I have my own questions about the offense, which is why I'm betting the Ravens, just because I haven't seen enough points against moderate to bad defenses. I put the Giants in the moderate tier, I'd say. I think that's kind of fair. But I don't know. It's they've been relying on explosive plays and amidst like a couple pretty solid drives. It's just not really fitting the eye test for me. So I'm interested to see that the kind of matchup there. But so much went aside from the most important play of the game. Like so much went against the Ravens Sunday in the first three quarters of the game that like, I just think they are very, very undervalued here. And so that's why I like him. I have been trying to find a Rashad Bateman offensive rookie of the year. I think Lamar Jackson has looked like he's improved so much as a passer. I don't know if you guys feel the same way.
I do.
And there is precedent for someone to not, or for a receiver to not play the full season and still win offensive rookie of the year. And we saw it with Odell Beckham. Now, Rashad Bateman is not the athlete that Odell Beckham Jr. is, but he certainly has the hands. And only playing when Odell Beckham won, he only played in 12 games. And I think that if you can find just like a monstrous number of say 150-1 or like a 200-1, I actually think there is value there just because of like the current lack of talented receiving options. Now he might not play this week. So like that might be a good reason to not bet it. But if you can find that, I do think that is a valuable bet. Are we good in this game?
I think so.
Okay. Moving on to my best bet, which is is this Monday night?
Chargers. Yes.
Chargers or Raiders. Yeah. So I like the Raiders +3.5. Total is 52.5. Don't like a whole lot there. And I'm back in the Raiders. So to start, it's a home game for the Chargers. And I mean, everyone's going to talk. Like, it's not, there should be no value assigned to a Chargers home field, especially in a Raider game. I could certainly see it being a 50-50 split. The Chargers win last week was so impressive. And I think I questioned Brandon Staley a little bit last week, and I was very wrong to do so because he called an incredible game, especially in the closing minutes of the game. That being said, I've been as impressed with John Gruden to start the year. I think he is so good as a play caller. And what Derek Carr does with the downfield passing is absolutely incredible to me. Let me pull up the note real quick. So he leads the league and throws 20 plus yards down the field. And I think it's important that the Raiders are chasing explosive plays. They are one of the leaders in passing rate on early downs. And I think that's very important in order to have a productive offense, especially if this game turns into a shootout, which it very well could be. I have the Raiders defense has been impressive. I think last week was a little bit of a fluke. I bet the over last week, and I was very fortunate to cover to win that bet. But I like the Raiders defense was very, very impressive for 3.5 quarters of that game, with a bad drive at the end of the game and one, or the Dolphins had a good drive at the end of the game and a good drive at the beginning of the game. But like the pass rush is great, and I think they can do enough to put a little pressure on Herbert. And overall, I think Austin said this earlier, but getting three and the hook with a team that is with no home field, and I think that they are about equal to the Chargers. I think that going all the way through three is just way too much. So give me the Raiders.
You hit on everything I was going to say. Yeah. I just think there's such a marginal difference between these teams that the fact that I can get over a field goal for the Raiders, give me all of that. I just think Derek Carr looks superb. Jacobs getting hurt has probably been a good thing because they've been more reliant on their pass game. One note I did have is that the Chargers are due for some third down regression. They're hitting it almost a 56% rate, which is a very high rate considering that the Packers were the only team last year just over 50%. So they are due for to miss some third downs, which is strange. I mean, Herbert doesn't care for the normal. The fact that last year he was so incredible under pressure, and now we have this year where Herbert and this Chargers offense is succeeding on third downs. It's just it shouldn't stay consistent. It shouldn't be sustainable, but we'll see how it goes. But I'll take the Raiders over a field goal here.
Yeah, I lean that way for sure. I mean, if you take a look at the box scores from last week alone, the Raiders outgained Miami by 170 yards. They gifted Miami with a pick six, and they also had eight penalties for 104 yards. So if you're wondering how Miami got to 28 points with 300 yards of offense, that's how. And then the Chargers won the turnover battle 4-0 against the Chiefs. So I think we get two kind of scores that really didn't indicate how the games were played, and they're also outgained by 90 yards. So I certainly lean the Raiders here, but my play is the over. I just think there's going to be a lot of points here. I love both these offenses. The Raiders' defense has been impressive, but I still think the Chargers can move the ball on them really efficiently. I think 52.5 is a really good number. I'd play it up to 53 and maybe even 53.5.
All right. Before we get into the rest of the games, just a quick word from our sponsor, Anchor. Thank you to Anchor. Thursday night. We normally don't talk Thursday night, but we are recording earlier than we normally do, so might as well crowbar. Ed, do you guys have any takes on this game?
He's the Bengals.
No.
He's the Bengals.
I think that's horrible. I bet the under. I think that both offenses are disappointing and not very good. I also just think that at some point the Jags are going to have to hit. At some point, the number will go too far the other way and the Jags will cover a spread. So I don't really want to side in this game. And then just why I like the under, the Bengals are running the ball about 65% of the time on early downs. And that's just going to keep the clock moving. And it's just not what you want to see out of an offense that's what I want to see out of this offense, because I bet the under. It's just not an effective way to put up a lot of points. Austin, what do we think here?
Okay, so I'll channel my inner James here. So we have the Bengals here, 7.5-point favorites playing a Jags team that is awful. We can all agree they're very bad. This offense has looked bad. This defense has looked bad. The Bengals are, according to DVOA, the fourth-rated defense. Which is just not a good sign for Trevor Lawrence, which is a first-time rookie quarterback starting on Thursday Night Football and a first-time head coach starting on Thursday Night Football. As we know, two trends that don't favor the Jags way here. But I'm channeling my inner James. My gut tells me Trevor Lawrence comes in here and he wins the game. I think Jags are live, and I don't really have any explanation for it. I just think this is too many points, and go Jags.
I also think that
the handicap.
Both T. Higgins and Jesse Bates were announced out. Jesse Bates is their best defensive player. He's the safety, and I mean T. Higgins is really good. You can make the case he's their best receiver. And the spread didn't move. I'd say that both of them combined is probably worth a half point if you think that 7.5 is that much more valuable than 7. I don't know. It's just another in a long line of bad Thursday night football games. Although I did hear a reason why, they put all the crappy teams first in Thursday night is. So it's like, you're more likely to get injured early on a early season Thursday night game. So they don't want any of the good players to be out for the year. Just like
quite the conspiracy.
No, like this is a real thing. So if you have the Chiefs,
so you're basically just telling these teams you suck.
Yeah, yes.
You can get injured. Yeah. To the good teams.
So you won't have Chiefs Bucks on a Thursday night in mid September because you don't want Patrick Mahomes wrecking his knee just because you're not in the middle of mid season shape, I guess. Which I thought that's kind of crazy. But
I'm gonna need a source.
All right, I'll find it.
Sounds like cap.
The game next week is the Rams versus.
I mean, yeah, it's week Seahawks. Five.
They're telling Russell Wilson don't play.
It's week five.
Oh, well, that's early in the season.
Well, yeah, but that's the Super Bowl game. They have to do that.
That's fair.
Let's move on. the Washington football team is traveling to Atlanta to take on the Falcons. Falcons are getting 1.5 at home, and the total is at 47.5. Austin, I'll kick it to you. What do we like?
Yeah, I do have a like in this game. This game's gross, but I'm on Washington football team. Look, I will be the first to admit I was so wrong on this Washington football team defense. They look so bad. Their secondary looks awful. They're getting exposed. The pass rush is not getting there either, which with Sweat and Chase Young, you would think that – I mean, that was kind of the main strength of this defense last year. But I think this week, this is their first chance to show their true colors. So the Falcons have, through 3 weeks, the lowest air yards in the NFL. They're also rated as the worst offense. Let me double check DVOA for that one. The worst offense, which is incredible when the Jets are a football team as well. So Washington secondary, they should catch a break here. I don't see the Falcons being able to take advantage of them. Additionally, the Atlanta offensive line is pretty weak. So this is going to be Washington's D-line's first chance to finally show up here. I'm going to be on Washington football team. I think I'm also going to be on Atlanta's team total under. I just think this Atlanta offense is so bad. Washington's finally going to get their chance to show up defensively. The more I talk, I kind of want to take the full game under just because 47.5 is a pretty big number. And Taylor Heinicke looked like shit last week. So I don't really know what to think about this Washington offense either. But that being said, this is a bet on Washington's defense. I think they're going to be able to expose Atlanta's just really weak offense. And then one more note, it's a look ahead game for Atlanta as they have a London game on deck. I don't actually think this is a look ahead game, but I'm pretty excited for my 6:30 a.m. football viewing material again.
James, what about you?
That was perfectly said in all facets. I also really like the under. I'm seeing 48 on the site I use, so I actually might bet that in the next 30 minutes or so. But, yeah, I just think the Falcons are that bad. I mean, we watch the Eagles on Monday night, and they just get obliterated on defense. And it's just hard not to think back to week one and what Atlanta did. 6 points against that defense, and then you give up 32 to an offense that struggled that game as well. I like Washington here quite a bit. Well, it didn't make my five likes, but it was close. So I like the Redskins and the football team and the
other team. Football team. Come on. The R word on a podcast?
Get out.
Shit.
I'm going to boot you from the call right now. Done. I love this under. I am going to bet that 48 as well. Just a couple quick notes on why we are going to be attending the Matt Ryan funeral that's upcoming. So he's got the lowest. Thank you. He's got the lowest average depth of target in the NFL right now, which is shocking because it's lower than Mac Jones, Mac Jones was very low to start. And so in three games, they still have not completed a pass, thrown 20 plus yards down the field. So there should be no explosion in this Atlanta Falcons offense. Now, it's a good thing that Taylor Heinicke is just not that good. I mean, like, he'll make some outstanding plays where he just like runs around in the pocket for a while. He kind of looks like Johnny Manziel when he's doing it, but it's just not in, like, the against
like Johnny Manziel in the NFL.
Yeah. Perfect. And then, but the Falcons have the lowest defensive pressure rate in the NFL. And I hope that just means with a moderately high it's like a pretty average total in terms of total points. I just hope that means we can get some sustained football team drives that can kind of run the clock. And if they score, they score. It's that we're going to win this total if the Washington football team plays to their talent level. And if the defense puts enough pressure on Matt Ryan so that we can keep the stat of them not completed and past 20 yards down the field at zero. That's just kind of what I'm looking for. In terms of the side, I think football team should win. They were almost alike for me, but I just don't really want to publicly endorse this team because I don't think they're very good at all. And so that's kind of where I'm at. Anything else to add?
Yeah, speaking of QB funerals, AJ McCarron did get added to the injury report for the Falcons, but you know what that means? Chosen Rosen is the backup here. So
hell yeah.
I hope we get to see a little of him soon.
I'm all in. I'm all in. Hey, maybe he can unlock this offense, right?
Give Kyle Pitts the ball, man. My fantasy team needs it.
The Lions traveling to Soldier Field to take on the Bears. The Bears are laying 2.5 at home. It is, I'm seeing a juiced 2.5, and the total is at 42. Austin, it sounded like you liked the Bears this week.
Yeah, I can understand why you guys like the Lions, but
I mean, I don't,
under a field goal, I mean, like the Lions,
it's 3, bro. It's 3.
I'm seeing 2.5. Give me that. The line was -6 before last week. We're really supposed to adjust enough.
It did not adjust enough.
I don't know
enough.
Why we would. We're both so.
Bro, they had 1 yard passing.
We're
1 yard
giving
passing.
The Lions that much credit against a very good Ravens.
No, it's not even about that. It's not about giving them credit. It's about the Bears.
It ain't your turn, bro. The Lions defense is ranked 31st in the NFL compared to a Browns team that ranks 10th and a team that sacked them 9 times. The Lions do not have this kind of ability. I think this will be a very big step down in competition and Fields' first chance to find his rhythm. I'm not going to forget that this Bears team just blew out the Bengals just 2 weeks ago. I understand that the Bengals are not a very good team, but they're still better than the Lions. I have a hard time grading
blew
this
out.
Game.
Hold on. They won by 3.
Well, if Fields didn't come in,
they won by 3.
It was a blowout. There was a blowout until Fields came in.
They were outgained by 50 yards.
They were winning by 14 with like 10 minutes left, and Fields has decided to give him the game, which Fields might be the quarterback this week, which is bad for my handicap. But look, Goff's going to be under pressure. I love me some Jared Goff under pressure. Chicago still does have a good pass rush. Goff also on the road. Another good thing I love when I'm on the Bears here. Detroit has multiple receivers hurt in this game. I'm getting them under a field goal. I love this bet. I'd still like, can we look back at Detroit here? Look, they were blown out against the Niners. I know you guys like to look at the final score, but they were blown out by the Niners.
You keep lumping me in with James here. Like,
I don't talk shit about my last play, about the last thing.
Oh, yeah, but it was true.
You were looking
at the final score.
I'm not going to overreact to that Lions-Ravens game. I think the market has, and they've overreacted.
That's not what it's about.
The number has fallen from 6 to 2.5. Then tell me why the Lions are winning.
Yeah, sorry, the train just ruined all my momentum, but the Bears have 250 yards of offense their last 8 quarters of football.
For perspective, oh my gosh.
The Rams, I think they did that in the first half last game. It's unreal how bad this offense is. You know why the Lions defense is 31st? Yes, they're a very bad football team, but they've played the likes of the 49ers, Packers, and the Ravens the first 3 weeks. Now they get the Bears. That's a step down in competition. You play those three, all pretty good defenses as well. This Bears defense would be nothing new for them. Yes, Goff on the road scares me, but I'm willing to take a chance here. The Bears are that bad. The Lions are winning. Give me the bet, Austin.
You got a deal. Green button, baby.
Yeah, I don't want. So I'll argue. Well,
I didn't even like it.
You did.
No, I'll take it, though. Go Bears.
I'll argue for both sides really quick. For one, James, I think you're wrong in saying that. Because there's definite numerical value on the Bears where it was, you said it was 6.5 last week, Austin.
Six.
Like, and after one game, that is especially going through 3 and coming off 6, that's a big, big, big reaction. Now, the Lions could certainly do something similar to what we just saw against the Bears, because the Lions front 7 absolutely dominated against the Ravens. I came away very impressed with what they did to what's probably not an elite offensive line of the Ravens, but I wouldn't call it bad by any means. So I like this under. I think points are going to be very, very hard to come by. I just think it's absolutely insane that, and obviously this includes sack yardage, but with a team with 1 total passing yard in any game, especially a game you're losing, is unbelievable. Go ahead.
I agree with you. I agree with you on the under.
The 1840s.
My only pushback is to that under is a week ago we were just talking about Justin Fields' rookie of the year tickets and how he possibly can open up this offense. And if the Lions are really the 30th ranked defense in the NFL, this is their chance to open up the offense. But it's going to be a matter of what does Nagy come out with game plan wise? And considering that, I think he call one of you guys and say we're also on the QB depth chart this week? Because I mean, we don't know who's starting.
I did get that call.
You also got it? Because I don't know who's starting quarterback this week. If we see Foles, fuck it. If we see Foles, give me the Bears. Like, I ain't tripping. Like, the Bears are fine in this game. But I think
if we see Foles, Fields. I wouldn't like my bet.
I think I prefer Fields, honestly. I still like him too. In this offense. go
Bears. All right, we need to move on. The Tennessee Titans taking on
Jets.
The New York Jets. Our Jets. Maybe not James's Jets. But Jets getting 7 at home. Total is at 44. Austin, you are very, very excited about this one. Why do we like the Jets this week?
Dude, don't you just love backing the Jets week after week? We've been doing this since last year when they almost lost every single game.
Jets.
And here we are again. We're back on the Jets train, baby. Look, this is a fade against the Titans. I don't like this number 7. I would love it a lot more 7.5, but we're liking it 7. Jets are winning. Anyway, we saw it last year. The Titans played down to their competition. They did it multiple times. I remember a specific game against the Bengals, especially when they're doing it playing on the road. So I immediately was texting James about this. So I expected James to be on the Jets last Sunday. The fact that the Jets have played 3 really good defenses, and it's been a really bad introduction to the NFL for Zach Wilson, as he's been constantly under pressure. I'm sure all of you guys have seen the GIFs of their offensive linemen blocking each other versus blocking defensive linemen. It has not been a good introduction for Zach Wilson. But that being said, Titans have the worst defense they'll face yet. And they have a weak pass rush. That was my biggest note about the Titans heading into the year. Yes, they got Bud Dupree, but their pass rush still hasn't improved very much. I wasn't very impressed with the Titans last week, where they won by 9 in a game where they won the turnover battle by 3 points against a Colts team that has a quarterback who has 2 hurt ankles. I don't think the Titans are still improving me too much this season. I was low on them heading in. I just don't think it's warranted for them to be favored by more than a touchdown. At 7, it's still a good play. But if you can find a 7.5, give me it, grab it. I just think this is finally the game where the Jets offense is going to be able to open up is a bold word, do something. Jets are going to be able to do something. I still have been pretty impressed with their defense. Pretty impressed is another interesting word. I don't think their defense is that bad as the bad teams in the NFL. I think they are, I don't even want to say live, but I do like the play here. I like them to cover. Fuck it. They're winning. Go, Zach.
James, I will let you get the next word.
Yeah, we were texting about this Sunday night. It was 8 then. It's 7. I'm probably not going to play it. The spot lines up super well for them, and they can actually do something on offense here. Tennessee's not a good defense. I mean, they were really fortunate last week with just the Colts' struggles in the red zone. I think the Colts had 4 red zone trips and one touchdown, just an offense that does not excel there. So that final score could have been worse or closer, I guess. But it's a good spot for the Jets. If there was ever a time, it's now. It's just so hard. It's so hard. I'm not going to end up playing it, but if I did, the Jets are certainly the side.
I like the over. So first of all, I echo all of Austin's points where I think that the Titans defense is being overvalued here just because that they don't rush the passer very well. And they're going up against quite possibly one of the worst O-lines we have ever seen. I think I made the joke earlier that, or one of our friend Preston made the joke earlier that the 4 of us could get a good pass rush on the New York Jets O-line. And I said, and I could start at nose. And for all of you who do not know who I am or what I look like, I am a scrawny 5'9 guy who
5'9.
Do you think that's being generous?
Yeah.
How much you weigh? 170?
Oh, not even close. that just kind of tells you our thoughts on the New York Jets. We'll say 5'9 on a good day. I'm gonna round up, make myself feel better.
In heels.
He's wearing high tops.
But I think that this is it's set up perfectly for Zach Wilson to have put up his best performance so far this year. I really do believe that they're just because of the lack of pass rush that the Titans can put on or that they have put on their opponents in the past. I think that it does set up well for the New York Jets. And I, contrary to Austin, I don't think the Jets defense is very good. Marcus May is now out 3 to 4 weeks. He might be if he's not the best player on the team or best defensive player on the team. Oh, actually, you could probably make the case the best player on the team, but I think he's very important in for what the Titans are going to do over the top. So that is probably going to hold me off the Jets as a side in general. I hope they win. It'll be great for survivors because I'm not taking the Titans. No way am I taking the Titans. But I also think Derrick Henry will pretty much be able to do whatever he wants here. So I think that we do see points.
And three notes.
Sure.
One, do you think that the Jets and the over are correlated? Considering the fact that I don't understand how a total could be this low in a Titans game. The only way for the over to hit is the Jets are going to have to get theirs. So I kind of like that play, the Jets and the over.
Yes, and strangely enough, I think it is if A.J. Brown doesn't play. Just because I think that if we do get news that he's going to play, then it is going to tick up and maybe – or I guess – but then it would probably take up a half point for the Jets too. But
Second thing I wanted to say was to note your defense. Look, I'm with you. I don't think the Jets defense is very good, especially with some injuries. But I was surprised DVOA actually has them rated as the 16th rated defense. And I know DVOA defense we have to take into account this early in the year. But 16 is pretty good for a team that's 0-3 and hasn't looked very good at all. And then the third takeaway I wanted to point out, I mentioned this earlier about the London game, but then it just kind of really just hit me. We're really getting Jets Falcons as our first London game. You guys want to talk about
no one's Thursday waking nights. Up for that.
That's our first London game. God, I can't wait.
That's crazy. That's the second Jets win.
I think it is.
Hey, we really are going to the playoffs. It's crazy. Just to add, I'm going to rebut that point a little bit. They have it's at 16, that's an average defense, right? This is still a below average total, which the average total would probably be what, like 47, 48. Yep. And like right here, it's 44 with so much offensive talent on the Titans side. And I guess the angle is that we're banking on positive regression for the Jets. So I still do think that it is a few points low. Now the worry is that the Jets offense is so far below average and the Titans offense is disappointing as well. So I guess that contributes to why it is lower, but I don't know. I like my spot in the over. I think 44 is a good number too.
We did it again. We talked too much about the Jets.
And we do that all the time. Browns traveling to take on the Vikings. Browns are laying 1.5 on the road and the total's at 51. James, you like the Browns, right?
I do. This was in best bet consideration for a few days. I bet this, I think, at 1.5. Maybe it was 2 a couple nights ago. I think the matchup just lines up really well for the Browns. Stefanski was the OC in Minnesota for a few years, just actually 2 years back. So he knows the personnel really well, knows Kirk Cousins, that offense. He'll know the weaknesses, where to attack, how to play them defensively, the ins and outs of the offense. In addition to that, the Vikings' run defense has been pretty poor so far. They've given up over 100 yards in all three games and averaged – they've allowed over 4 yards per carry in every game. So I think it sets up really well for the Browns rushing game here. I think they come in, control the clock, get the lead early. I really like the Browns first half in this game, if you want to play that. Stefanski will have some really good plays drawn up. So I think that could be the angle. But I think they control the clock here and they come out and cover the two.
Okay. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I'm still indifferent on the spread. I just don't understand how Seattle was a 2-point favorite last week at Minnesota, and we're seeing the same number here. I just don't think you can rate the Browns and Seattle as equals. Browns are clearly the better team. I think this number should probably be closer to a field goal, even though Minnesota did win that game. So I like what James said there. In addition to that, I like the under 51.5. To all the notes that James said about Stefanski knowing Kirk Cousins, chances are Vikings offense shouldn't be overpowering. But in addition, Browns are going to run the ball. Vikings have the sixth worst rush defense in the league. So that's just going to have the clock ticking right away. Vikings also have a poor offensive line and they're going against one of the league's best pass rushes. We saw that last week. And we know how much the Vikings like to run the ball. So I'm kind of expecting a run heavy game plan from the Vikings as well. And additionally, pace of play is also going to help us. Vikings play the seventh slowest in the NFL and the Browns play the 12th slowest rate. I just think with both teams running the ball very at a high rate, clock's going to be ticking. So that's my main play here in this game. And I also lean Browns.
Of course I lean Browns. The Vikings are playing, but I actually tried to talk myself into the Vikings. We're seeing a similar number on the Browns just because the Vikings absolutely dominated the Seahawks at home. And I would argue that it's good enough for a significant upgrade for the Vikings, especially how unlucky they got first 2 weeks of the year. I think I'm looking at a Cleveland Browns team total over. It's the Browns are number 2 in adjusted O-line yards, and the Vikings are number 30th in D-line adjusted yards, which I think there's going to be a humongous edge for the Browns running game, and I just think Baker's going to have a lot of time. I'm kind of impartial to your under, Austin. I think that, because with how well Kirk Cousins has been the highest graded quarterback in a clean pocket so far, and that is you can bank on that to kind of last throughout the season. And with the weapons on the outside, I do think they can kind of run into an explosive play or two. And I think that if Dalvin Cook isn't back, well, Madison looked outstanding, by the way, but if Dalvin Cook isn't back, then I think that we kind of see the Vikings lean on Kirk Cousins a little bit more than Madison, just because of what the matchup would provide. So I have my worries about an under there. It is a high total though. So I do see the argument. What would you guys say to adding more on the Browns at this point while the Chiefs are kind of struggling for the AFC championship?
I don't think you're going to get a great number right now because the Chiefs number is probably coming down or going up a little bit. So something's got to come down. But this is a kind of a good part of the schedule. I don't know. I just wouldn't add anything on at this point. I think it's a really good – in a few weeks could be a really good spot for the Chiefs. But if you played the Browns a few weeks ago, I think you're sitting pretty well right now.
Yeah, I'm still pretty happy with that bet. If I'm adding anywhere, I'm adding it on the Raiders as an AFC threat. Just looking ahead at their schedule, they got Bears, Broncos, Eagles, and Giants on deck. They could be 8-0 coming into the Chiefs game going into week 9. So that would be my only play I would add on.
Maybe root for a Raiders loss by 3 and then kind of tack on at the end.
Not bad, yeah.
That would make me happy. Let's move on to – I clicked out of it.
Colts, Dolphins.
Colts, goodness gracious. Colts traveling to Miami. Dolphins laying 1.5, and the total is at 42.5. I'll start. I don't have much here, but Carson Wentz looks very bad. The Colts O-line looks very bad, and I struggle to see where the Colts have any advantage on the field at all. You're going to get – oh, here's the jinx for this one, right? You know you're going to get your one Dolphins turnover for the game. Actually, no, they're playing Carson Wentz. They're getting a turnover. Yep. And so this makes me lean Dolphins. There's no explosion to the Dolphins offense at all that, you can't, bank on any kind of, sustained offensive performance. So it does kind of worry me here. I still do like the defense, and I think the secondary is outstanding. It's just if Jonathan Taylor has a monster day, which I'm not super confident in, then it would kind of blow up the Dolphins defense a bit. Austin, what do you think in this game?
I think the Colts suck. They looked really bad last week. It's a bad Titans defense. We already talked about it. They were +3 in turnovers, and they still lost by 9, 1-for-4 in the red zone. They struggled against the Rams in that area too. This team just doesn't look good, especially with Carson Wentz hurt. And that was all against a Tennessee defense that isn't very good. And now come to Miami, outdoors, in the hot, in the heat, against a defense that is rated as number 7 in the league. I think their Colts are in for a pretty big challenge here. And you said the Miami has no explosion on offense. I'll give you an explosion. Jacoby Brissett revenge game. Ooh. Come on now. Give me some Brissett revenge game.
That moves the needle.
He was pretty solid last week, honestly. Like, I thought
I disagree.
Their offense didn't necessarily open up, but I thought he managed the game pretty well. He did his job. He got his team all the way back to overtime. I mean, as I was watching that game, I thought when they needed to make a play, he actually was able to make one. He still had some athleticism as he made a really shifty juke, I think, on a two-point conversion. I just did an actual juke when I said that, too. I'll take the Dolphins. Give me the Fins minus two. Add it to a six like.
Okay. James, what do you think?
Well, it was a compelling case, but I'm just going to stay away from the side in this. I kind of lean to the under. Like borderline betting it. I just don't, I fail to see like any big plays in this game unless there's turnovers. I just think both offenses are run first, run heavy. So that lends me to the under, but it's a low total. So I'll probably sit on it for a little bit.
Yeah. I don't know if the total is going to move a whole lot. Do you think there's going to be any weather in Miami? Like maybe really windy or rainy?
I can check. 15 mile per hour winds.
Ooh.
The only weather game of the week.
All right. Well, that would lend its way to an under, so I don't hit that look then. Carolina, or the Panthers traveling to Jerry's World to take on the Cowboys. Cowboys laying 5, and the total's at 50.5. Austin, you like the Cowboys.
I do, and I think I'm going to get some pushback for it. I'm mainly fading their defense, the Panthers' defense. They've played Zach Wilson. They've played Davis Mills and Jameis Winston, who's yet to throw over 150 yards. These are all bottom 10 offenses in the league. Now they face the sixth-ranked offense in the Cowboys, which I would argue should be even higher because that offense, that passing game in particular, is stellar. Panthers cornerback J.C. Horn is out for the year. They have other secondary injuries. They had a safety and another player, which I don't know the name. But they have three of their five DBs that started in week one are out right now. I give the Panthers credit. Their D-line has looked pretty solid against, again, a weak schedule. But the Cowboys have a good O-line that I think is impressive enough to negate that strength. I just think Panthers aren't going to be able to keep up. The Cowboys are going to be able to get theirs because their offense is a unit, and I do not trust Sam Darnold to keep up with them. Sure, James, you can tell me about the Panthers' rest advantage, but Cowboys are going to put up 27, and I don't see the Panthers. They're putting up 30, and the Panthers are not putting up 24.
Yeah, I disagree. That rest advantage is huge. So it's rare you get a spot. You get a Thursday night game, and your opponent plays Monday. That's a full 4 days of rest advantage, and I love Matt Rhule in this spot. I mean, you want to talk about a guy who just overperforms with what he has. It's Matt Rhule. He's done it everywhere he's gone. Now you're giving him 4 days to scheme up something against Mike McCarthy in that offense. I love that. In addition, I think the Cowboys have been a little fortunate. You go back 2 weeks, one turnover battle last week against Philadelphia, and then 2 weeks ago against the Chargers, they did as well. And the Chargers, I think they had the 3 touchdowns called back, 100 yards of penalties. So they've been a little fortunate. Obviously, they were just better than Philly last week. And I'm not saying the Panthers have been world beaters this year either. They've been the beneficiaries of a very light schedule to this point. But I think 5 is just too many here. Yes, I think the Cowboys are better, but I think the spot just lines up really well for Carolina. I'll bet you.
Again, not one of my likes, but
I thought it was.
No, but sure, I'll take it.
Yeah, I thought it was too. I'll hop on.
Oh, you're right. I switched. Yeah, I did have him as a like. So let's do it.
I'll hop on against James. I thought that was a good argument, Austin. You didn't mention it. They're also going to miss McCaffrey this week. Plus DJ Moore got hit really, really hard. There's a lot of injury concerns after a simple Thursday night win against the Texans of all teams. I don't have much to add on top of you guys. Just I think Dak is so, I think it'd be criminal to say he's anything lower than a top 5 quarterback in the NFL. Kel Moore has been doing a whole lot better. Like his play calling last week, it just transitioning from calling a million runs again, which Zeke looked great again. Pollard looks good again. Like this offense is outstanding and it's got me excited. So, I'm all about the Cowboys this week. We already hit Jane.
We them boys. Sorry. How to get that in.
We already hit Giants Saints. No one had Chiefs or Eagles, right?
No.
Okay. No.
Well, the Kansas City Chiefs are So this is they're 7-point favorites against the Philadelphia Eagles, and the total's at 54.5. Does this total seem a little low?
No. Not after watching that Philly defense.
That Eagles offense. Philly offense. And that Eagles offense, yeah.
Okay. I mean, the Chiefs have undoubtedly had the worst defense so far this year. And like Jalen Hurts in garbage time did exactly what I wanted him to do and why I drafted him on all my fantasy teams. That's the Chiefs can't stop the run, and they are so bad in pass protection. It's absolutely insane. I think I'm talking myself into an Eagles team total over, which that's not going to be a fun one to watch. And then I think we're going to get some good plays as sort of a bounce back for after two straight losses for Andy Reid, which when was the last time they lost two straight games? They do it at the end of last year.
It's not going to be three.
Oh no, I'm not arguing for that. That's for sure. But I don't know. I 54.5 seems a bit low when the Chiefs defense hasn't been able to stop literally anything. So I am certainly leaning over, and I will probably talk myself into the Eagles team total over, if I'm being honest. Austin, I'll kick it to you. What do we like this week?
First and foremost, I think Chiefs teaser leg is probably the best teaser leg we'll get all season. They are not losing three games in a row here. Well, I mean, we've seen three teams now give their best possible effort to the Chiefs. It took four Chiefs turnovers and a Chargers 4th-and-9 conversion for the Chargers to win last week. It took a historic performance from the Ravens. They easily could be 3-0. You could also argue they could be 0-3 because the Browns game was very close. But they easily could be 3-0 here. And their defensive stats are awful. Don't get me wrong. DVOA has them ranked as the worst defense in the league, which did surprise me. But that was against the two of those teams that they faced are kind of just the chief beaters between the Browns and the Ravens, where they have this rushing attack that the Chiefs are not usually good at facing. They've always struggled with that in the past couple of years. So I think that is skewing their poor defensive stats. The Eagles do not necessarily have this attack. I didn't watch much of the last game, but I don't think Miles Sanders was very impressive.
The Eagles
ran the ball three times
with running backs. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I saw that in the first half. Yeah. The Eagles rush game, it just does not intimidate me in this game. The Eagles also have O-line injuries. Just as a whole, that offense looks so bad. It's funny looking back at the team stats. It was a lot closer than I thought. Cause I did watch the first half and three quarters, and then I just turned it off cause it was a joke. But I couldn't believe how close the team stats were, because I just felt that the Eagles were not moving the ball at all. This Chiefs offense still hasn't changed. They're number two in the league. They're moving the ball at will. Add in Josh Gordon. I don't know if he plays or not. It doesn't really matter to me. I think Chiefs cover easily. I think the team total hits. I think that they're going to get back on track, throw them in a teaser leg, or just bet all your money you have on the money line. Also a good play.
Don't do that, but do tease them. There's a couple other really good teaser legs this week, but I think this is for sure my favorite. I echo the same sentiments. I mean, I struggle to find a path for the Eagles to win this game and hand the Chiefs their third loss in a row. That just doesn't happen under Andy Reid. This offense is too good. After what I saw last week, I'm sure Philly will probably be more run-oriented this week and try to melt the clock, but it doesn't matter here. The Chiefs are just too good. At some point, they got to flex their wings. Crazy stat, though. The Chiefs are now 1-12-1 ATS their last 14.
Insane.
Wow.
That is wild. Now they're laying 7 on the road, which that's not a great place to be. Is Andy Reid okay, by the way? Like, he's going to be coaching, right? Okay.
That's great. They gave some chicken on the ambulance to the hospital, and he's good. Some chicken and a Pepsi.
The cure-all for everyone. I feel like we've complained about a lot of bad games, but this one has to be the worst. Texans taking on the Texans and Davis Mills traveling to Buffalo, where the Bills are laying 16 and the total is at 47. Austin,
fuck,
you're starting us off.
great, awesome. Just to carry on from what I just said, putting all your money on the Chiefs money line, throw it in a parlay with the Bills money line. It still probably doesn't pay out even pay out here. I have absolutely nothing to say. The under mainly intrigues me a little because I don't know if the Texans can score a single point, but at the same time, the Buffalo's team total over intrigues me because I don't see the Texans stopping the Bills. So I'm going to pass. There is better football to watch.
So no book I have has accepted my Bills to the overcorrelated parlay yet, which is a bit of a bummer. But if any of your books have that, I think it's so incredibly correlated. It's insane, just because the Bills could cover this total on their or on their own. I'm so bad at picking games with these very, very big spreads. I'm just going to lean to the Bills because they are way better and I can envision the blowout in my mind. I don't have a whole lot here. Was it just me or were there a lot of Texans injuries in the Thursday night camp? Am I making that up in my mind?
I'll look it up, but I did just think of something, sure, which might change a couple things. So James already mentioned the Matt Rule and how he has extra rest advantage. Houston also has extra rest advantage. They have quite a few injuries, but it looks like everyone's going to play. But the biggest thing here is Bills have a look ahead. You know who they play next week? At Kansas City, Sunday Night Football. This sounds a little bit of a sleepy spot for Buffalo. While Houston's had extra time to prepare, Davis Mills finally gets some extra time. In Houston, a whole game plan. They had extra time to become a better quarterback. Buffalo's going to sleep through this game. I'll take Houston.
And I'll take no part. I'm not going to touch this game.
All right, let's just move on then. Cardinals. Oh, this is James' favorite trend ever. Cardinals are traveling to L.A. to take on the Rams. The Rams are laying 4.5, and the total is at 54.5. James, why do we like the Rams?
Because Sean McVay is 8-0 straight up against Arizona and 7-1 against the spread.
Is that it?
No, I thought you just wanted the trend.
No. Fire away.
Did you know he hasn't lost at halftime when he's had a lead?
Ever?
Is that still true?
You haven't seen that? Yeah, they put that on halftime of every single game. He's still undefeated when he has the lead at halftime.
That's actually
insane. That's remarkable. Remarkable. We're on the Rams this week. I mean, I don't think I'm even going to bet it, but we would be on the Rams this week if they didn't just play the potential NFC championship matchup already. But Arizona last week was incredibly fortunate. They won the turnover battle 4-1, had a pick six, a lot of luck mixed in. Honestly, you can make the argument that the Jags actually didn't play that bad. It's just turnovers at really bad times and the Cardinals made it hurt.
I think the Jags played pretty bad.
I mean, they're just a bad football team. It's hard to really evaluate what good is for them. But the Rams are just so much better. I mean, if they come out and play to their level, I think they blow the Cardinals out of the water here. I think the Cardinals are kind of a fraudulent 3-0 team. I mean, I haven't really been that impressed. Week one at Tennessee, they look really good. I think they're incredibly fortunate week two and a little fortunate week three. Like they still should win that game at Jacksonville, but there's no doubt in my mind the Rams are the better team. To say they're only a 1.5 better on a neutral is just incredibly disrespectful to me, and that's what this line is implying. If this gets down to 3.5, I'll consider betting it. At 4, it's just a lean. Or 4.5 is just a lean to the Rams.
Yeah, I'm pretty much in agreement with James there on everything he said. Only thing I would add is I'm not super high in this Rams defense, but this will be the toughest defensive challenge that the Cardinals have faced all year. I just think this Rams offense, as James said, when they're playing with their – as they should blow the Cardinals out the water.
Yeah, I don't really have a strong opinion on either side. I would like to – I was kind of listening through to – I was, re-listening to our podcast from last week, and we were talking about or at least Austin and I were talking about the Rams defense. And I did hear this, a bunch of different places. And I think there's an important distinction to make. I think I'm lower on the Rams, long-term, full-season defensive – ability just because there's a huge lack of depth but right now everyone's healthy, so it's all so the defense is going to be good I think we're going to be able to kind of even longer season two this year, so as injuries kind of build up just the season goes on, that's where I think we're going to be able to find value fading the Rams defense. But for now, and I definitely learned my lesson last week, for now I'm just going to stay away just because it's this team on both sides of the ball is ripping away at just full power. And it's very impressive to watch. We ready to move on?
Yeah.
Sweet. Seahawks, 49ers. Niners laying 2.5 at home. Totals at 52. This looks like a juiced 2.5, so there is a chance it goes to 3. I'll start. I lean Seahawks. If Lockett plays, I think that the Seahawks passing game is going to have a pretty big advantage here. Just this, the Niners, Aaron Rodgers cut apart that Niners secondary. Like, what is it, like a warm knife through butter?
Hot knife through butter.
Yeah, and I just think Russell Wilson could do something similar here. Jimmy G's been fine all year, so like has nothing to do with the Niners offense. I do think that the Niners and the under is somewhat correlated, because I think that the likely outcome for a Niners win and cover is that they are just able to control clock and just like move the ball downfield, just taking up a bunch of time, just being able to run all over the Seahawks defense, because we kind of saw last week where the Vikings with their backup running back just absolutely dominated the Seahawks on the ground, and were able to pick up big chunk yardage against the Seahawks. And 52 is a pretty big total. Now it is a Seattle game, so there's probably a reason for it. I need to make the decision whether I want to go 3-0 to start on Seattle Seahawks first half team total overs. But I don't know. I need to see if Tyler Lockett's healthy first, because it's the combination of him and DK Metcalf that just makes the Seattle passing game so effective. Austin, what do you think about this one?
I'm hoping we get a field goal. If we get that +3, I think I'll like Seattle a lot more. I like a couple things here. I think I like the over. Seattle's rated as the number 3 offense. Niners are ranked as the number 10th. The over hit in both games that they played last year, even with Beathard, that's how I'm going to say it. Beathard started one of the games last year. And then defensively, Seattle's 24th, Niners are 19th. So neither defense is really scaring me off. And I'm particularly fading the number 19th ranked San Francisco 49ers defense because of their secondary issues. So Kawan Williams is a significant injury for the 49ers. He's their slot corner. So this secondary is already very thin. It appears that he has a calf strain and he's not going to play. The 49ers added Buster Screen this week. So according to a 49ers beat writer, just looking him up, Williams has been known as someone who shuts down Lockett, which I was unaware of. And I heard from another Twitter source that Lockett's going to play this week, and he got away pretty lucky from last week's game. So I think if DK and Lockett play, Seahawks are very live to put up points here. So I'll take Seattle. And I also think I'm going to take the over, just because I think the Niners can get theirs with Seattle's defense pretty weak.
Yeah, I agree with both you guys. I definitely lean to Seattle. I considered betting a 3 -120. Instead, I just tease it up to 9 with the Chiefs. These teams traditionally play very close games under Shanahan and Pete Carroll. If you look at these series history, only one game in the last 6 meetings has been decided by more than a touchdown, and that was the game Beathard started. So I really think this is going to be a close game. Honestly, a field goal either way, I'd probably take it. So it lends me the Seahawks here. I think it's an excellent teaser leg. If you get it up through 8.5, 9-ish area, I think all the points matter in this one.
All right. We hit Ravens Broncos. Ooh, this will get a little, probably get a little disagreement here. Steelers getting 7 points at Green Bay. Total's at 46. James, you like the Steelers? Tell me why.
Yes, sir. I love the Steelers when they're a dog. They play to the level of competition. Hold on, let me pull up the trend. It's a crazy trend. Not finding it right now. But Tomlin is an underdog, is outstanding. If you look back, just if you look at his track record, week one this year, it's a really similar spot to this game. The Steelers were catching 6.5 at Buffalo, same spread as it is now. Went outright, thoroughly handled the Bills, keep them in check. There's supposed to be a little weather in this game as well, a little rain. I don't know who's going to be playing quarterback for the Steelers, which is a concern. I hope it's not Big Ben. It probably will be. He's looked outrageously bad. But I just think that defense comes to play. This is another back against the wall game. This is where the Steelers thrive. This is where Tomlin keeps his job. And I just think it's a really good sell high spot on the Packers as well here. Emotional win in San Francisco Sunday night. Traditionally, if you fade the Sunday night winner, You do very well. And I think this is a really good spot for the Steelers here. Lines up well. And the stat is the Steelers are 10-3 against the spread as underdogs since 2019. And home favorites this year of less than a touchdown are 4-16 against the spread so far. So those both line up well for the Steelers. I like the Steelers at 6.5. Really like it 7.
Austin, what do you think?
Well, starters, this podcast, we just love to call for coaches' heads. I didn't realize
Mike Thomas
on the hot seat, but James thinks he is. I think the Steelers team just sucks. But at the same time, I kind of lean their way this game. This is going to be the worst defense that the Steelers have faced all year. So even with their offensive line issues and just their pass issues in general, the Steelers should be able to take advantage of a weak Packers defense. Packers don't have a D-line to truly take advantage of a weak Steelers offensive line either. So Big Ben shouldn't be sacked. I believe he sacked 4 times last week. He should be have a little less pressure. And as James mentioned, if it is a weather game, it's supposed to be windy and rainy. I think that does help the Steelers. If we have a sloppy game that's not passing the ball too heavy and that's not playing into Aaron Rodgers' hands, that definitely favors the team. It's getting 7 points. So I kind of think the Steelers are correlated with the under here. If they're not going to put up points, they're going to only cover this game if it's a low scoring game. As James said, their defense steps up and is able to stop the Packers. But at the same time, they rank 23rd in pass defense so far this season. Aaron Rodgers most likely can take advantage of it. I don't think I'm going to have any part of this game, but maybe I will change my ways as the week goes on.
James, I want to bet you on this game so bad.
Do it.
Screw it. I will.
There's a 6.5 available. Take that.
What? Yeah. How does he get to shop around, but I don't?
Well, I mean, it's right now the 7 is I'm bet a line at 7+125. Like that just ain't the market, my friend.
Sorry, bro.
Yeah. Thanks, Austin. I like a great passing defense is never going to like really, really scare me off of, or like away from Aaron Rodgers. So I'm not super concerned there. We're nearing the Big Ben funeral, and like, it's the end is so, so terrifying. It's so bad. He doesn't throw. Najee Harris had 19 targets last week. You shouldn't be targeting your running back 19 times. You shouldn't be targeting your running back more than 10 times, I would argue.
You should be targeting him 19 times. He's on my fantasy team, which he is.
Yeah, that I do have him in the league. That was very nice. But it's the Steelers. I don't know how they're going to move. They couldn't move the ball in the Bengals defense, which I guess they've got the 4th best defense according to DVOA, but I'll wait a couple of weeks before I'm willing to concede that. And it's the O-line is terrible, and I think Elgton Jenkins might be back this week for the Packers, which would be a huge boost for their O-line. And I just think that the Packers are going to be able to put up any number they on offense that they want. This is a bad, bad Steelers football team, and I will happily lay 6.5 points with the Packers. Do we got a bet on 6.5, James?
Yeah. Steelers are winning, so take 6.5.
Bold man. You sound like me on the college pod when I'm just 17.5 points. We'll take a money line.
That's Louisiana Tech this week.
Oh, I do. Hell yeah. We're about to record the college pod after this, and I'm gonna be very excited. Tampa Bay Bucks, lane 7. And it's the Tom Brady. This isn't a revenge game. This is the return game. Tom Brady's head back to New England, take on the Patriots. The total's at 49. Austin, as our resident Bucks fan, what do we like here?
It's tough. You know, clearly money is coming in on the Bucks all week. This number just continues to get bigger. I'm mixed on both sides. I think this Bucks secondary, as I mentioned prior, is very overrated. Matt Ryan's able to move the ball. You would think that Mac Jones could also do it, but Mac Jones hasn't exactly been able to throw the ball past 10 yards. This game's going to be a matter of, can this pass offense take advantage of the Bucs' poor secondary? I don't know. I mean, the Patriots have faced the Jets, Dolphins, and the confusing Saints. This is definitely inflated their defensive stats, but they do have a top 10 defense in the NFL, according to DVOA. I know it didn't take much for the Saints to win last week, and Bucks have a much better offense that you would think that I don't see how the Pats can keep up with them, especially this Pats secondary without Gilmore. They don't have enough guys to match up with the Bucks weapons, considering Antonio Brown's back. I assume Gronk's going to be back. There's just a lot of question marks for the Pats' ability to go score for score against the Bucks. Like, signs tell me to go for Tampa Bay at 7 now, no. But when it was under 7, the signs were definitely pointing towards Tampa. But going back to the gut, I just feel like Bill's got something circled. He's got stuff drawn up, and I think they're live. I think New England's live here. I'm not going to have any money on this game, but I definitely have a lot of rooting interest. I think this game's going to be awesome. And I just have a gut feeling that the Patriots and Bill are going to keep it close.
James, what do you think?
I kind of disagree. I teased the Bucks down to become my Ravens earlier in the week. I could easily see them just kind of pulling away in this one. I just don't trust New England's offense. But at the same time, this is a game you live for. This is like probably a game they'll be writing about for years to come, like the Belichick-Brady matchup. I'm sure Bill's just going to have some crazy game plan to keep him in it. I think my game plan here would probably be the under if I played anything straight. I think 49 is a very, very, very high total for this New England Patriots team. The Bucks have gone over in all three by a considerable margin, but I feel like New England plays the clock here, tries to run the ball, anything to keep Brady off the field. And I think that lends itself to an under.
So I kind of side with James here. I haven't put him in a teaser, but I might. I've got a couple open teasers with the Ravens that I kind of want to fill. My one worry here is that if the Bucks' main weakness is on the defensive side and it's in the secondary, and I don't know if Mac Jones is just good enough to take advantage. His average depth of target as of a week ago. I could not find an updated stat that had this, but it's only 5.3 yards, which is, for reference, Trevor Lawrence is at 9.8, Zach Wilson 9.4. It's very low, and that's kind of that should act as somewhat of a warning sign for a young quarterback like that. So they're not really taking chances down the field. If you want to beat a bad secondary, I would want you to be taking all the chances down the field that you can get. And I just don't think that he has the weapons nor the kind of ability to make the Bucks pay where they're weakest. And I think Tom Brady's going to pretty much do whatever he wants in this game. I don't know. I'm sure I'll talk myself into something by Sunday night, but at this point in time, I'm pretty much just passing here. I guess I'd lean toward an under, a Sunday night under. That's always fun. Anything else to add? I apologize. I'm not very opinionated on that game.
The total's just tough for me because I think, like, if it wasn't such a big motivation game and we were just looking at matchups on the field, like, you would think Tampa's just going to have their way with New England. The fact that Tampa has the fifth rated offense and New England's the best team they face is the Saints, which we know haven't impressed them. You would think that Tampa's going to be able to get theirs, which kind of, if you like the over, you kind of just, shouldn't you just take the Bucks team total over? But it's just, it's the motivation angle, which is so strange. And I hate you. You don't really want to play into the motivation cards, but this is just such a big spot really for Tom and for Bill. But I like to lean more to the coaches and side here. So I don't know. I'm pretty indifferent too.
And then we already hit Monday night. Is there any either like look ahead lines or any other bets that you guys have been thinking about this week? Jets getting 4, Jets get at in the London game.
There's some Tom Brady props that are pretty funny. Like, who will catch Tom Brady's record-breaking pass? Gronk's the favorite. What quarter will Tom Brady break the record? Yardage of Tom Brady's record-breaking pass. I kind of just started looking in the middle of the podcast, so I don't really have any strong takes right now, but if you get first quarter for him to break the record, I kind of like that. I feel like they'll throw the ball early and try to get the monkey off his back. So That's just one angle, but
can I go conspiracy theorist here?
Sure.
All right. Tom Brady intentionally played bad last week so he could break the record in New England.
He still threw for over 300 yards. So I don't quite know what your definition of bad is. But
yeah, my conspiracy is the NFL did plan this game, though, in week four, because they knew Brady had the chance to break it in this week. They probably didn't expect he'd only be 68 yards away. But I think it just adds such an awesome storyline to this.
Oh, it's going to be really cool. That'll do it. That's kind of funny. You can really tell where our performance declines in our podcast. I was looking at how listener retention rate, and in all of our past episodes, there's a definite wall where we just kind of lose energy a bit, and we lose just a bunch of people. Like, it falls off a cliff. And it's normally towards the end, because we start talking about stupid shit like that. Thank you all for listening. Go rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Please do it. We're trying to climb up the rankings. If you're listening on Spotify, hit the follow button. You'll always get notified when we drop an episode. And wherever else you may be listening, maybe it's podcasts, Stitcher, whatever it may be, go ahead, leave a follow, subscribe, whatever it is. Follow us on Twitter at the Sharpside Pod, and download the BetSports app and follow our profile and featured page there as well at the Sharpside Pod. Thank you guys for listening. This was dragged on just a bit longer than I had hoped. But Austin, what are we doing this weekend?
Let's go win some money.
Let's go do Jets. It. Go Jets. Thanks, guys.